The button okay, is,
I hit the button.
The button, the button is pressed. The button is pressed.
It's pressed. We are go. The button is pressed. It is time once again.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Brandon Chalmers.
Happy New Year. my old acquaintance.
Yes. We haven't technically started yet, but we are still recording. This past weekend was MAGFest?
This past weekend was MAGFest.
And it was like the first time in a good many years that you and I have not gone to MAGFest.
Yeah.
Did that feel weird to you at all? Or was it...
Is this part of the episode or is this just you vamping? Are you trying to get B-roll?
No, I mean, this will be in the episode.
Oh, okay. All right. Right on. So we're started. To answer your question, yeah, honestly, going to any one of these shows has been a weird experience for me.
Yeah.
Like it's been fun because I haven't had the same responsibilities that I used to and like being able to just go and enjoy the show. But at the same time, it's like, hey, you know this thing that you used to pour a bunch of your heart and your time into? Okay, now watch someone else handle all of it. Don't say anything about anything. Make sure you don't piss anyone off so that you don't end up having any sort of repercussions for the people that you care about who are still part of the thing.
Yeah.
And then above all else, try and have a good time.
Have a good time.
Yeah. So like it's been weird. Like this MAGFest was less weird because I wasn't there. I still got a chance to watch it on the Twitch stream.
Cool.
So like, yeah. So luckily MAGFest was really rad and you can still go back and look at it if you'd like to go see it or any of the other programming that happened at MAGFest. I think shy of like their main events room. So like where they had like Proto Men play or whatever. I don't think that was Twitch streamed, but all the major panel rooms all had a steady Twitch stream. That was
cool.
Pretty good.
I had no idea. I should have just left that on in the background while I was working on shit. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. So like that was pretty cool. To my understanding, they are still up. I genuinely don't know. I haven't checked, but it was nice being able to see everything in real time. So even though I couldn't physically be there, I did get a chance to see all the matches.
I think of all the cons that we've done in the past, I think MAGFest is like one of your favorites just because it's like you get what you get and you don't get upset. Like there's no pretense. You know, you got your game rooms, you play your video games. It's all
good.
You get
your music, you get your game rooms. Like it doesn't pretend to be something that it's not. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
They're jam rooms. You can pick up a Strat and just like rock out with your friends and shit.
Right. So like that's really good. But yeah, like I think I like MAGFest because it feels like a party all the time. And we only really got to enjoy it once. And like as the years went on, we would only show up day of. So it'd be like, boy, howdy, this place smells like a locker room. I get to play Donkey Kong. Let's go do a show. And then like by the time I'm like, we're done the show starts like 5:30. We're done like 7:30, 8 o'clock. I'm like, well, we can go to dinner and I can get home at midnight or I can pack the car and I can be home by like 10.
Yeah.
And in more recent years, it was like, we'll go home, yada, yada, yada. So like, I haven't enjoyed it as much, but I know leading up to MAGFest this year, Nicole and I were actually just talking about going and the crew we were going to go with and a lot of conversation about everything. And, you know, it ended up being one of those things where it's like, we all couldn't agree on what was going on. And I'm like, well, I'm not ready to spend all of this money by myself right now.
Right.
So we're going to plan this, kick this out to next year. And I plan on next year going the whole time, getting a hotel room the whole time I'm there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not worrying about a damn thing and just being drunk for 4 days straight and not thinking about a damn thing and having a rad time and not giving a fuck about anything.
I wonder how difficult it would be to get like one of those Katsukan style suites, you know, where like it's the full suite.
No.
That's impossible.
MAGFest is bullshit in this way. This is why we ended up not getting the room in the first place, is there was a conversation that happened about the lottery, because there's a lottery system to get a room at the Gaylord.
Oh, shit. Okay.
the rooms of the Gaylord, look, the Gaylord's an incredibly nice hotel.
Sure.
They have a lockdown on everything. They have an opportunity to charge a premium for the rooms. It's too goddamn expensive.
What
if I plan in advance, I can get a hotel that is within very short walking distance for half the price of the Gaylord hotel rooms, still be able to enjoy everything at the Gaylord and be able to use an elevator. I don't see, like, what's my downside? Oh no, I'm cold for this, like, 4 minute
for
walk.
4 minutes, yeah.
Who cares?
I wonder if we could get, like, if we could book a suite at one of the other hotels with a bunch of friends. Like, I'm thinking the Opinions May Vary crew, if they're up for the road trip, like
that could be rad. There's also an argument being of just, hey, we're gonna be there, and I'm an adult in my 30s, and I don't want to have to sleep nine people to a hotel room.
Well, not like a hotel room, but like one of those, like,
yeah,
big ass places where, like, there's like a living room and then an extra room. And then, like,
I don't know if they have like an extended stay place on National Harbor. Yeah. So, like, unless we were able to book some sort of like specialty suite or something like that, that I'm not aware of, to my understanding, it's just a lot of like business style hotel rooms and what have you around there, other than the Gaylord, which has those fucking ridiculous suites, but the Con immediately snatches those up and has the ability to do with them whatever they please.
Cause like if one of the hotels in that complex is like a residence, we could hook it up. I don't know.
We could totally do that. There's the other argument that we could just stay at the casino and just lift from the casino to the Gaylord.
That's not a bad idea.
Like, because if you want to go from a 24-hour party to a 24-hour party, we could head to the casino, hit the buffet, then lift over.
Yeah.
The lift's probably going to be cheaper than dinner anywhere in National Harbor.
Yeah.
And then...
That's not a bad idea. I wonder if we could get a like a podcast thing where we get the Opinions May Vary, we get Nerds of Color, and we have like we get a floor at the casino and just get sloppy the entire weekend.
I mean, I'm down for all of this.
Like, we can knock out like five shows in one night and then like all our content done.
We knock out one show and we just repost it everywhere. Because the idea of us doing five podcasts, I can tell you right now, by podcast two, I'm going to be drunk. And you think I shout a lot now? I'm sober. I have been stone sober for every one of these episodes. And I shout about dumb shit all the time. Imagine if I'm drunk. And more importantly, imagine if I'm drunk, full of free food, and have been drunk for quite some time.
God, I think we should do this.
Like, the idea of me coming in after free snow crab legs and being like, okay, I'm starting to feel sober again and the headache's coming. Somebody hand me a bourbon. I'm going to talk about Star Wars. Like, just no good comes of this.
I think amazing good comes from this, and we live stream it.
I think there's a better than average chance I'm going to have to change my name or wear a mustache on my mustache so that I stay employed. Because this is better than average chance. I'm going to say some awful shit.
You should put on a lucha mask.
Yeah. How do you say the opinion in Spanish? Because that's going to be my fucking wrestling name.
But I think of all the shows in the area that we're not doing because we're not actively on the circuit yet. And it depends on like how things go with Draw right now. I think MAGFest is one of the ones that we, like, of the ones that we would go to on purpose and having nothing else to do. I think MAGFest is the one because, like, you get all your video games and stuff. And
I wouldn't work MAGFest
ever. Yeah. No.
No, that is strictly a party thing. The only thing that bothers me about MAGFest really at this point now is that it's so goddamn close to New Year's and Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's a fucking expensive month in December anyway. And then to add a 4-day party on top of that, my liver can't handle that, Jamie. Like,
well, you just,
I killed half a handle of bourbon on fucking New Year's. I cannot do. I cannot do 4 days of that.
Brandon, that sounds like the whinings of a quitter. Are you a quitter, Brandon?
No, everyone else is, because I brought that bottle to share and no one else fucking touched it. Bunch of fucking White Claw drinkers going on, and no one else shared my bourbon.
See, that
I had tequila shots on, no, I'm sorry, vodka shots on top of that, because I'm trying to be a social butterfly, and I'm like, these are new friends, and I want to make new friends, so I'm going to go hang out and do the vodka shots, because they made them special. And I'm like, thanks, friends. Okay, now I'm going to chase my vodka with bourbon, because that's what I do.
See, and that's why I think we get the opinions may vary crew down here, because I'm pretty sure Alex can put away. Like,
I'm not sure if any of them drink.
I don't know.
I thought I remember, if memory serves, I thought I remember Alex being sober.
Oh.
I don't think it's a straight edge. I think it's just like a choice thing by taste or what have you. And good on him if that's the case. And for the record, anyone else, you choose not to drink for whatever reason, absolutely good on you. No pressure
I don't drink. I don't drink. It's just.
Right. You drink on occasion, but very rarely and very little.
Yeah. But someone in that crew must drink something.
I think I remember Allison and Victoria both drinking.
Ah, there we go.
Right. There definitely won't be anything bad happening if I'm partying with the two of them. There's definitely not anything bad that would happen.
And they're cosplayers, so it'll be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys, here's what we're going to do. Skip PAX. PAX sucks.
Yeah, no.
Go to MAGFest.
Go to MAGFest. I think we should get on the horn with them after this cast.
That's my statement. I've been to both. PAX is fucking lame.
Yeah.
MAGFest is rad.
Yeah. MAGFest is awesome. PAX was only cool because we got to hang out with them.
Right.
But we could hang out with them at a better show. So
right. The rest of PAX fucking sucked. It was like some sort of weird exchange program for video games for licenses and stuff like that. And
yeah,
we had to spend all that time downloading the video game or what have you. Motherfucker, yeah. I can play Daytona Racer, jump right in the machine, get all Fast and Furious with that shit. Just be like, shit, man, I'm Dom, you're Brian, let's go, and just fucking rowing gears all day damn long. Like,
we can play DDR for as long as we want.
We can do a Sweet 16 tournament playing fucking pinball on the same machine and not pay a damn dime.
Yeah, and not have to wait in like really ridiculous fucking lines.
Whoever,
like, at PAX.
Fuck lines. Yeah. And then when we're done with that, then we can jump onto all the other open machines or all the other things, or just play video games in the hotel room because everybody's got goddamn machines there. Then we can go play music. Then we can go watch rad fuck bands and go see that.
Oh,
I
dude.
Know you're not the biggest fucking Party Man show, but did you see the goddamn laser light show they put on?
No, but that sounds amazing.
Fucking like Laser Floyd going on at that main events room in MAGFest, and it's rad.
I remember there was a jam room that MAGFest hosted at one of the anime cons that we went to in DC.
Yeah.
And I had a blast, like, just grabbing a guitar, getting on the microphone, being an asshole, and like jamming around. That was a lot of fun. And I miss that. I think it'd be great.
Yeah, that is a must do for us.
Yeah. All right. Well, we solved a new year.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. So next year, strap in.
Fucking Do It Cast is gonna be on the premises.
Yeah. Yeah, much like the Muppets Take Manhattan, it's the Fuck It's Take MAGFest is what's going to happen.
All right, Brandon, do you have a oh shit for us to kick things off?
No, I don't. You've burned through all of my good favor already.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, everyone else in between, welcome to the Fucking Do It podcast. We are part of the Hard Knock Media Podcasting Network. That's NOC, Nerds of Color. You can find us at hardknockmedia.com, along with all of the other podcasts. At the end of the year, I was on like two of Keith's just because he ran out of guests and stuff. So.
Yeah, and I noticed I didn't get a fucking phone call for that. Thanks a whole lot.
That's because you have a real job. And like,
oh, is that it? Okay. He records in the middle of the day and I got other shit to do. Yeah. Right on. Okay.
Like you, I mean, unless you have an hour in the parking lot, but like.
No. God, yeah, I wish.
So Keith works from home a lot, so he has a little bit more flexibility. So that is the only reason why he called me.
I think not what you mean to say is he works from home, and on the hours that he is absolutely not working his day job and is off the clock 100%, he is then spending his time on a passion project that in no way, shape, or form conflicts with his day job.
Yes, that's exactly what I meant to say.
Because he works at Day Job Incorporated, much like the rest of us.
Day Job Incorporated.
Yeah.
So when last we met, we were talking about getting excited about Star Wars, hyping each other up about Star Wars.
Yes.
This was going to be the first Star Wars of the new ones that you got to see with somebody.
Yes.
Which is the only way to experience these movies. Good, bad, indifferent. Yep. Going to see a Star Wars in a theater is the way to do it. Like,
yes.
I binged through all of the movies before leading up to it, and it was okay, but it was tough. It's not the same as like if you have a group of people with you and like you're shouting and stuff. So we are going to spend the time doing a movie review.
Oh shit. Okay.
We're gonna shit sandwich it. We're gonna talk about, we're gonna do it in three parts. So part one, initial impressions, part two, things we did not like, and part three, things we did like, because we want to end on the positive.
All right, all right.
Spoilers. I'm sure all the nerds who listen to us have already seen it. I ended up seeing it twice. I took my parents to see it, which is pretty cool because like they took me and my brother out of school when The Last Jedi came out.
So you took them out of work to go see it?
Yeah, I took them out of work to go see it. And it was kind of cool. It was a full theater during the day, so that was pretty impressive.
Good for them.
All right, so Brandon, initial impressions overall. How did you enjoy this film, the experience with your lady friend in the theater with nerds?
enjoyed the company, enjoyed the film. I think that's about it. Not a like game changer, not anything else like that. I've got some things to nitpick, but all in all, I'm happy.
Yeah. So we went to the Senator. I've never been to the Senator.
Yeah.
It's a pretty rad place. Like,
yes,
I want to figure out how to do stuff with them. I don't know how, but I think it would be fun to like do movie stuff and I don't know, nerdy shit.
To my understanding, it's like an email and a check is essentially how that works.
Well, I need to make more money then. Fuck it.
Yeah. We might be able to solve it with like an email and a handshake, but I don't think we do the numbers to do anything other than that.
No, yeah. We would need to get in some of our network muscle. It's like, hey,
yeah.
Keith.
Yeah, yeah.
So we walked around ahead of time. We tried to get some man on the street interviews. Apparently, Keith lost all of those on his recorder, but we were handing out toys and stuff like that. So we were pretty excited about the movie. We ate at the restaurant that's right next to the theater. They had like Star Wars themed stuff. Like there was a BB-8 float. It was a boozy float. I forgot what the booze was, but you got like two giant lumps of ice cream in the middle of it. And nice. So Audrey got that. So she was well prepared for a long movie.
Gotcha. Okay.
And the theater is great. The experience was great. The audience, you know, they laughed, they cried, they yelled at the screen. They were into it. Like they were into it. Like, and so coming off of that high, I was like, oh, I don't know. 'Cause the movie goes so fast. It's like a fire hydrant of Star Wars right in your fucking face.
Yeah. But only for like the first 10 fucking minutes.
Yeah.
And then just, the rest of it is a regular paced regular ass movie.
Yeah. But like I was overwhelmed. I was so caught up in the moment. You probably didn't listen to the Hard Knock Life review that me and Keith did. But like I was divided. I was like, I love this cast so much. I love this cast. I love hanging out with them. I'm sad I don't get to see them anymore. There are parts that I didn't like about the movie. There are parts that I did like about the movie. So I was mixed. And then I took my parents to see it, and the things that I liked, I really liked, and the things that I hated, I really hated. So it was like an uneven thing for me. But I love this cast so much that I'm sad because this experience has been reportedly really terrible for all the actors. Like Boyega does not want to come back. Daisy Ridley does not want to come back. Oscar Isaacs has essentially said, fuck you to Disney. Like, they've had the worst time. Kelly Marie Tran, we know what happened. So like, we're not going to get this cast back again. And it makes me sad that this was their last outing. Like, you know, I don't know. I don't know how else you could have done it. Like, everybody wants to armchair quarterback. And it's like, oh, you should have done this. You should have done that. But it was never going to be, it was never going to be what everyone wanted it to be. So,
okay. So a couple things so that you understand my movie going experience. We went to the AMC in Owings Mills.
Owings Mills.
Thinking that it was going to be nice, big, cushy seating because it was reserved seating. It was not.
What?
They were super tight seats. They were bolt upright. They were real thin. The movie going experience itself was real shit.
That's disappointing.
Let's start breaking into the game film here, because let's start off first. The fucking scroll. Was that real? was that a sixth grade like reading comprehension project? Because the second I saw in all caps, the dead live, and I was fuck. And then they use it in, I swear that font's larger than usual, because I felt like that entrance was a little fucking thin.
Yeah, so they're spacing it out so it looks more
like... I don't think so. Like, respectfully to IMAX, and bear in mind, I'm not sure I actually watched it on an IMAX. I know I paid the fucking IMAX price, but I'm pretty sure I didn't see it on an IMAX. I got a fucking 75-inch TV that I sit pretty close to. I ain't sluggish about my fucking TV size. And those letters felt real goddamn big.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't get any better on the second viewing. Like,
no, I bet it fucking didn't. And then they proceed to recreate in what I can only describe as a fever dream 5-year-old explanation, the jump scene from, what was it? Thor Ragnarok?
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, where like Thor, Thor and Groot and Rocket jump from like weird scene to weird scene because we got planets and we did a lot of storyboarding and we're going to fucking show you all of our work.
Oh, yeah.
Because everyone's real proud of it. We're going to introduce some squid dude who they never really, it's like, thanks, Squid, not Squidward. We couldn't do this without you, big hug, disappear, die, show up maybe later for like a high five.
Why weren't you Rose? Like, why weren't you Rose?
What the fuck?
Why
weren't was you that? Rose? Like, and then the other dude that they actually get the fucking like codes from or whatever it was, where it's is there anything we can do for you? And in the most in the most fucking 80s words, just win the war. Like, fuck you, you fucking one-dimensional. Jesus Christ. I was so fucking happy when I saw that dude's decapitated head sitting on a fucking table. I was like, thank Christ.
Finally,
like somebody went behind and went, we have to cut this scene. And they were like, hang on a second, I have a better idea. And it wasn't, but it was a fucking close second and I'll take it. But like...
Oh yeah, and the movie, the movie.
Could you have not taken that whole jump scene in the beginning, added a paragraph's worth of text? We find our heroes being chased by the First Order.
Yeah,
landing at the Rebel base.
Yeah,
boom! It's a paragraph at the end.
Yeah,
and now Falcon's coming into the scene. Falcon's on fire. All of them are fighting. We don't get weird Sluggo guy, and we don't get that ham-fisted fucking line. And we could have cut anyone else's fucking head off. Anyone's.
You didn't like the lights, the hyperspace skipping? That was pretty cool.
No, you didn't like that. No, I liked it initially when it was done in fucking Ragnarok. When it was done with funnier fucking people.
Yeah.
And when you have the Guardians crew doing this bit, and it was a long drawn out bit then that I thought went a little too long, and then recreated it with a less funny cast, adding in, it would be like, honestly, like if they added to the Thor Ragnarok thing somewhere in that scene where you find out the Groot's got a buddy who you never see before, who hangs in, walks up and went, "Hey guys." And they're like, "Hey, Fast Eddie, how's it going?" And he's like, "Doing swell, just hanging out here, getting my face stretched," and then fucking disappears. You're like, "What the fuck is with Fast Eddie? Why does he look like a slug? What the fuck is happening right
now?" Yeah. Maybe the slug was their collective fever dream and he didn't actually exist.
I'm not sure. Here's the thing. I wasn't sure he existed, but you just confirmed it. So it definitely was fucking real. I don't know why, but he sure as fuck was there.
Yeah. Well, the other weird thing about the way the movie opened, it opened with a slow motion montage of Kylo Ren stabbing random people. Now, if you read the visual dictionary, that is Mustafar. Mustafar is the planet where Vader has his castle, where Obi-Wan slices off all of his limbs. But you don't see, there's nothing in the movie to let you know that. There's no, like, you know, icon in the say Mustafar. There's nothing. It's just, you know, a music video of Kylo Ren, like, slashing stuff.
I'm telling you. Okay, so get this. This reminds me. I wasn't sure how dead on I was. So Cole and I are watching the one prior to this, just to kind of get in that Star Wars mood. And they have that big fight scene in Snoke's big den or whatever it is.
I made
the joke that you could literally turn the volume down, turn up Papa Roach's Last Resort, and literally make it the best music video. And then I hop on YouTube and I type in Star Wars Last Resort. And then I realize that it came out when the prequels came out and everyone else had already done this. So I get to watch Anakin fucking lose his limbs to Last Resort. And then I get to realize that the rest of the goddamn Papa Roach catalog is set to the fight scene on Naboo with fucking Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, and Darth Maul. So, right. Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm going to record an album that's nothing but, that's just time to all the fight scenes.
Just nothing but, dude, you got to remember, like, I come from that weird gap generation in between where we watch Dragon Ball movies set to Drowning Pool albums. Like, this is just.
Oh, AMVs are great. AMVs are great. And this movie is totally AMVable.
Hell yeah.
There was someone who grabbed footage and did like, "I need a hero," to like Ben Solo running to save Rey and stuff.
Yeah, of course they did. Jesus Christ, we're gonna get to that fucking shit. Anyway, so then some other things happened that I can't fucking remember.
Rey got a shoulder tap, and then Rose got a shoulder tap out of the movie.
Yeah,
out of the movie. Out of the movie. Yeah. Out of the movie.
I got verbally beat up by Star Wars fans and they got exactly what they wanted. So I'm going to hang out here and guard the base. She literally dude, as a fat kid growing up, I get what it's like to be the friend who gets to guard the base.
Yeah.
That means that they don't think you can run in open ground. You got to prove that motherfucker's wrong. Rose need to steal a ship. Go blow some shit up. Just go hanging out. John Boyega's flirting with random hot chick who's hanging out in fucking space on the side of the wing. Rose needs to come by and be like, "Who's this bitch looking at my man?" And fucking buzz that deck. Like, make no mistake. She had so much opportunity. They spent all this time building up this friendship and this relationship and this strong fucking female lead. And then they piss it away by letting her fucking sit back and man the goddamn computer.
Yeah. And it's come out afterwards that, like, oh, well, they wanted to give her more time with Leia because it was going to be really important. And I'm like, that's fine. It's not in the movie. Fuck you.
Right. Where is that?
It's
and
nowhere.
Why wouldn't Leia be like, "Hey, we got Sluggo here. Go fucking into space and go do some shit."
Yeah. Rose is an engineer. When you're taking a broke-ass Millennium Falcon with you on a mission, you need an engineer. Like,
could she not a fucking third seated in the Falcon?
Of course.
Could it not have been fucking Chewy, Carl Weathers, and Rose? Like, we couldn't have had her hanging out with the two?
Yeah. Like, that pissed me off the first time I saw it. That infuriated me the second time I saw it. I was just like, I know she's out, but they need to make it up to her somehow. Like, she needs a Disney Plus series or whatever. But, like, whatever she does next, I'm buying opening night tickets and telling all my friends to go see it because...
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck, man.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Okay. So what was the next thing?
That was the thing that pissed me off a lot. So there were three major things I forgot. Oh, Rey is a Palpatine. I hated that. I fucking hated that. And I hated it because, like, so you watch the very first Star Wars movie. Obi-Wan tells Luke that the Force is a living force that binds everyone together. Mm-hmm. Jedi are special just because they can tap into this, but the implication is that anyone can do it. And in the first movie, Luke is just some dopey farm kid, like, you know, some dirt bag high school kid who's not very special. He's down on his luck. You know, he has bigger aspirations to go and do the thing, but he's stuck at home taking care of the farm.
Yeah, I get the thinly veiled Superman allegory. Like, I understand that.
And then he gets thrust into this crazy thing, and the implication, at least from the first movie, is that anyone can be the hero in the story. You just have to step up to the plate. Except. And then you find out he's a legacy. And that's like, okay, that's okay.
Right. Of course. And this is the part that really fucks me up in this sense, because Empire is like one of, if not my favorite movie. And I know I'm not alone in this.
Oh, sure.
But it's the one that sets up the big plot point.
Yeah.
And it's the one that, like, it motherfucks all the other movies.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, because you're locked into, like, this now.
Right. It's like, I'm your father. It's like, motherfucker. Really? This kid, and then all of this, and then the whole thing, and then it explains the space wizard, and, like, there's some reasoning behind it, but sure. Then you realize that, like, oh, okay, you're royalty. We're gonna tell a story about royalty. And then we spend a bunch of other movies talking about fucking royalty.
Yeah, and initially you thought it was like a rebellion, but no, it's the rich kid who has, like, all the like, he's slumming it with the rebels, but he is fucking royalty. Like, he's special. He's special. What? He's super special.
Fuck it. Hang on a second.
His sister's a princess.
Can I do a quick pitch here?
Yeah.
Disney Plus series.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Set before the prequels.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're on Coruscant, like, years before whatever it is. A guy, right? Down on his luck, old Jedi. Can't move the way he used to. Definitely understands what's going on. He's called the Scout. All he does is he goes to remote planets like a baseball scout and search kids and check their midichlorian levels and then get into random ass adventures with these kids to try and get them back to Coruscant.
Yes. You get Broom Boy. You get your equivalent to Broom Boy. He's really good at sweeping shit, and that's all he knows how to do.
Right. Yeah. But, like, it's got to be like some super grizzled old Jedi. Like, honestly, Nick Nolte was so fucking good in Mandalorian. Yes. If we could just put him back in as just this scout, where he just, like, he looks at the thing and he's like, it's off the fucking charts. And then, next thing you know, like, kid goes and moves something with his mind and mom's fucking screaming at him about something. It'd be fucking great, because you could learn about, like, a bunch of new cultures and put him in a bunch of new worlds and just have him literally, like, the whole thing is him trying to talk everything into, like, the parents into letting him take the kid back to go take Jedi training.
Yeah, I love this idea, because it goes back to that feeling that anyone can do this. Anyone, you know, you can be your own hero. You just have to take that moment. You have to step up to the plate. And that's initially what I loved about Rey. Like, when Kylo says, your parents were junk traders. They sold you for beer money. And Rey has overcome, like, she's a junk trader on Jakku, which is, like, you know, the middle of fucking nowhere. It's like, you know, Dundalk. It's like someone from Dundalk, president, you know? And she's overcome that, and she's become part of something greater. Like, she's fighting this rebellion, and then you find out she's a Palpatine, and it just takes away that part of the message. And that,
yeah, but you and I both know she was gonna be somebody, because if she wasn't a fucking Palpatine, she was gonna be a Kenobi.
Yeah,
you knew that shit was gonna happen. You knew it was going to fucking happen. There had to be some sort of thing where they had an opportunity to have a role reversal, and fucking Ben needed some sort of story arc. Save me. I'm still okay because someone I'm the brooding lead. Right. Right. Oh my God. I had this complete change of character. Thank goodness to my ghost dad. Ghost dad who I murdered in front of his best friend and his new idols that he's trying to mentor to try and make up for being a semi-absentee father who's also a fucking low-life shithead to everyone across the galaxy. I've managed to suddenly turn my story around because we had a heart-to-heart. By the way, where the fuck was Han's weird ghost hue? Where was the hue?
Because he was a memory. He was a memory. He's not a force ghost.
You can't have conversations with memories. They're called dreams or visions. Like, usually when they appear that way, they're in the form of a coyote and somebody's taking a lot of shit. But right now, Han's just showing up, suddenly giving him a story arc, and suddenly he's like, you're right, I don't need any of this Hot Topic shit, throws it into the sea, and then suddenly we forget that, like, he's got a bunch of real fucking brooding friends, which I'm gonna go off on a quick tangent here.
Man.
What the fuck is with the Knights of Ren? Ugh. The most slapdick fucking edgelord douchebags, a bunch of fucking YouTubes with goddamn samurai swords. Not a goddamn energy sword among them.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell if that's a sign that Kylo is so fucking insecure that he won't let any of his other friends have fucking cool toys, or if they are such a lame group of theater douchebags that they fucking pretend with their fucking Nerf-ass swords, wandering around going, we're Knights of Ren!
Yeah.
Haven't fucking killed anybody, haven't done anything cool, and we knew that a strong breeze or a great fart was gonna fucking take all of them out, and that's basically what he did. Like, I swear he bucked at one of them.
Yeah, they're a second rate Menudo. Like, there's Menudo, and then there's like the lower tier Menudo.
They didn't do shit.
They didn't do shit. And
anyway,
because the designs of them could be kind of cool. They look rad.
Yeah, there are so many. They gave a goddamn stormtrooper an electrified lightsaber repelling nightstick, but all of Kylo's buddies walk around with goddamn tennis rackets and cricket bats.
Yeah,
like, fucking low rent space ass Casey Jones looking motherfuckers, like, can't get shit done.
Yeah, I have a feeling there's a couple hours of footage with them actually doing things, but, like, man, they were a huge disappointment.
And the
implication is that, like, they were also some of the former students. Like,
right. They're all supposed to be Luke's students. You're telling me none of them know how to use a lightsaber or the Force? Somehow Kylo is the only one who met. Like, what the fuck is wrong with Luke then? Is he the shittiest teacher where he's like, well, my nephew's getting plenty of edumacation. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with the rest of y'all. You need to get your shit together.
Like, you guys can't even dress yourselves. Fuck it.
Right, because my question is, how fucking long were they on that planet? Was it like a long weekend? Do we find out that Luke went to go train them? And it wasn't that, like, it was a year's worth of training, and he sensed the evil, he sensed the Sith in him and the dark side or whatever it is, and he was like, I gotta do something. I'm fucking losing my mind. And it was just like, suddenly they're all hanging out. It's like a long weekend on a camping expedition. He's got a bunch of fucking Boy Scouts and his nephew with him. He takes a couple of hits of peyote, and all of a sudden he's like, I have to save the galaxy, and then decides to, like, fucking murder his nephew for half a minute. And then suddenly we're off the fucking races, and he's hanging out with weird fish nuns. Like,
oh my God.
This is... I can't with this shit. I really can't. Now, I'm going to double way the fuck back. Okay, so Knights of Ren suck. Can we talk about how it doesn't fucking undo the fact that he's a space Nazi?
No, it doesn't. It does not.
And it does not. Listen,
it does not.
You 4chan low-key racist motherfuckers, if you suddenly decide to help a box turtle across the street, it does not mean that your racist ass isn't a piece of shit. Like, genuinely.
And like, it's the same.
I will no, kick a fucking skinhead down a flight of stairs after he fucking feeds a kitten. I have no qualms about this. Like, just.
And it's the same thing. Like, right after Anakin murders an entire village.
Yes.
Padme says, oh, he gonna get some.
Yeah, that right. Yeah, I murdered them. The women, the children, the younglings, the men, they all had to die. And she was like, I'm gonna get me some of that real young Jedi dick.
I'm
like,
gonna wrap my face around all of that.
Right. Why?
Yeah. Yeah. And
fucking low-key, not so low-key pedophile fucking Padme.
And that's why I'm glad Kylo Ren died, because there needed to be consequences for him being a super space Nazi.
But there weren't. He got the girl. He got the kiss. He got the redemption. He had his fucking outfit change.
And he got the Force Ghost death.
Fuck all of that. All that proves is that being a fucking douchebag white guy with a laser sword means you get the rad ending. Everything that every shitty white guy wants. I got to die being a badass, avenging the girl, and suddenly I still didn't win. Yeah. It's an incel's wet dream.
God,
fuck that shit.
With like a oversized sweater.
Like, genuinely, the only thing that would have made me feel better about that is before he fucking kisses Rey, fucking Chewbacca runs in with the biggest fucking dildo and just murks him right in the back of the head, just spatter all across Rey's face. You never see the end. That's just the last scene, is just slow-mo of just the blood spatter and then the Wookiee roar, him drop the giant dick and then walk away. And that's the end of the movie. And it just says up above it, space Nazis are still Nazis. And that's it.
And that's what you get.
Yeah, that's what you fucking get.
That's what you get.
Chewie fucking, yeah, because Chewie, by the way, doesn't get to redeem his best friend.
No, he doesn't. No, he gets to cry. He gets to cry over Leia.
Right, he gets
which
to
was
cry
heartbreaking
again. Right, he has his heart broken a fucking again, and then finds out that the person that he, by the way, he was helping train, falls for the same dick.
That's right.
Did we forget that he fucking killed Han?
That's
in
right.
In front of Rey, and she's still like, yeah, you know what? You are really, really hot, though.
it's that Kintsugi helmet shit where, like, they put the helmet back together with the red. The girls dig the red. Girls dig Kintsugi.
No. God damn it. No.
That was upsetting. That was upsetting. And I thought, I have a friend who is a big Reylo, and I thought she would have appreciated that. She hated the movie.
Good. Oh, God. No, like, could we have not, like, we got so fucking close to passing the Bechdel test with that movie. So close. Because nobody else got it. Like, no one else had a romantic relationship. Because Finn, apparently, the sexiest motherfucker in the galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, right.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, finds a gorgeous woman on horseback who's like, I'm gonna ride into space with you. And immediately shows up, like, bails on Rose, and then goes and hangs out. And then has the fucking audacity, when he's on that fucking planet with Carl Weathers, to be like, or not Carl Weathers, what the fuck,
Lando Calrissian. Billy Dee Williams, yeah.
When he's hanging out with Lando, to then be like, oh, Rey, there's something I've been meaning to tell you. So that means he's in love with Rey. He's definitely getting crushed hard on by Rose, and he got the eyes for random girl number three who he blows up a spaceship with. And still, he lands, and we double back to find out whether or not fucking Poe is going to make out with that luchador. And then still doesn't. And then we miss the opportunity of him looking back at Finn and going, huh? And he could have been like, yeah.
See, and that's the other thing that really made me mad. Because, like, JJ wanted it to happen, Oscar Isaacs wanted it to happen, and, like, you could tell as they were filming, they wanted it to happen, but the Disney overlords say, No, we'll get you, you can have this background kiss between two women, but Finn and Poe cannot make out with each other, even though they are acting like they should be making out with each other. Even though we create these other characters to give each of them a case of the not gays, but we know that they need to be making out with each other. Like,
why not? What? Like, give me something. If I'm supposed to be okay, randomly enough, with Walt Disney's company, I'm supposed to be okay with the Nazi getting the redemption. That I'm just not getting the that kiss at the end. I'm not getting any implication. I'm not getting a wink and a nod. I can't get a strong high five and an ass slap. Like, where's a good game? Like, could we have not had it where, like, Finn walks by, just fucking good games, Poe, have him look back at him, give him a little wink, and then just keep going? Like, could we have not have left a question mark? Did we have to leave it with a period? Could we have not have left it with an inquisitive period, as I assume your daughter would call it?
Yeah, a yelling period.
No, that's what they did. They were like, not gay, at least there. Yeah. Okay there, not there.
Yeah, it would have been so great. It would have been so great. Because here's the thing. Disney owned 80% of the 2019 box office, which means if we're going to get gay representation, LGBTQ representation in movies, 80% of that is on Disney. They have to do it somehow, sometime. And if you're not going to...
Or we accept that Disney's Disney and the other 20% need to step their dick game up.
Just like super gay. All gay.
Just really just be fucking strong with it. Like just unapologetic superhero who just has absolutely no qualms about being strong and confident and gay. And just no question about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, something's going to happen because it's past time. It's beyond. Well,
that's
time.
What I'm saying. Like that's the thing is it, we just have to start normalizing it before it becomes a thing. So like fucking okay.
Yeah.
I don't expect Disney to do this, or at least I don't expect Disney to do this in the next 10 years. Maybe. Yeah. I doubt it.
Yeah. I don't know. Like
Disney is like the WWE. It's fine with hot lesbian action, but it's the second it's any sort of male on male contact that is like,
oh no.
right. Well, hang on a second. We're fine with hey, are they both shirtless wearing skin tight outfits and definitely wrestling around a lot in a weird post-apocalyptic like hell zone? Yes. Okay, that's super not gay. But the second they kiss, that is not okay. Like, it's exactly the same as pro wrestling.
It is. It's definitely the same.
It's the same thing. Same goddamn logic.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ. It's the same. It is the same. It's the exact same.
It's the same logic. Thing.
Yeah. It's just so disappointing. It's just so disappointing. Like, oh man. So those were my big three. The lack of Rose, the lack of gay, and the Palpatine thing. Those three things.
Yeah.
Kind of did not sit right with me, and the second time I saw it, it made me even more mad. Even though, like, I love hanging out with the cast, but like,
yeah, it was a hell of a lot of fun, and I enjoyed the thing all in all. But man,
oh, and then Rey's Moana moment when she's on the skiff and she's going past like on the water and stuff, and Audrey turns to me and is like, she's going to find the Wayfinder. This is Moana. We're watching Moana.
It's face Moana. Is it not enough that they stole from another fucking, they stole from a Marvel property. Why won't they actually just steal from a Disney property? Yeah. Like, seriously, I bet if we go back and watch that, half of that goddamn movie are just callbacks to other fucking Disney properties.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I didn't even do the fucking Moana math, but that is 100% what that was.
Wayfinder. The skiff. It was so good.
Yeah.
She's Rey, like, you know, Moana's grandmother is the
weren't
Rey.
Weren't they both actually looking for a green glowing thing?
Yes. Yes, okay. Brandon. Yes, Brandon.
All right. They
were. Yes.
All right.
They were both looking for a thing.
I never, ever want to hear ever again about how original the writing is of anything ever, because that's not how we do things anymore. Apparently, all the ideas have been written down. That's it. There's nothing new.
Someone said that The Rise of Skywalker was just Grease, and I did not have the heart to go back and watch Grease.
Well, I mean, You know what? Let's put it this way. I'm willing to set it up on two TVs and hit play at the same time. I'm willing to do that. Honestly, if only just to turn the volume down for Star Wars and the volume up for Grease, just to find out where the musical numbers land in the thing.
Tell me more. Tell me more. He's like murdering people.
Genuinely, if they're riding through that canyon or whatever it is, like to You're the One That I Want, I am here for all of that. Like just right. Just.
Oh, I've been watching some of the Clone Wars stuff and Rebels and stuff on Disney Plus just to learn more about the Darksaber. Mm-hmm. Stormtroopers hella be flying.
Yeah.
Like they have been flying. So like that whole part was like, they fly now? They've been flying since the Clone Wars. Where were you?
Not alive. Remember?
Oh, that's true.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And imagine... Now, I don't know. This may come as a surprise to you because you have read U.S. textbooks, but in the Nazis, they do a lot of revisionist history. So the idea of that, see, that's, yeah, I know.
Fully explained. Yeah,
no, that's.
Oh, so here's other shit that was not in the movie, but might seem important. The stormtrooper who sits down with Lando and he asks, like, where are you from? I don't know. Well, let's find out then. That's Lando's daughter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he tried to start a family. His kid was stolen, like, very close to birth. So he just kind of fucked off and stayed on, like, Party Planet.
Okay.
But that's not anywhere in the movie at all.
Okay, so what you're saying is we have an opportunity for Donald Glover to play Lando again, and we get a redemption series, and that means we need to find, like, because if Donald Glover can play himself as younger, and then we just put a little bit of salt and pepper in that hair, and then let him play himself later on, trying to find his daughter, but, like, it always being at arm's reach, and then smash cut to the end of that movie where he's, like, walking with her, and... they're riding on the Falcon and him coming to grips with everything. And we get like, God, why is it the only fucking comparison I have is fucking with Little Miss Sunshine, that trash ass movie. God, everyone is a fucking monster in that movie. I hate that goddamn movie, except Greg Kinnear's delightful. But what the fuck? There has to be a better comparison movie of like a dad coming to grips with the long lost kid and the two of them going on some sort of adventure together.
Logan,
you know what? Fuck it. If we can do that, because honestly, if we did, you know what you could do? You could do a follow-up movie where it's like, he realizes who she is. She doesn't realize it just yet. He's trying to piece everything together. Mm-hmm. They go to try and find her past history and they come across everyone else who had a bounty on the Falcon.
Yeah.
And they have to basically pay up for both Lando's spotty past and Han's spotty past. Mm. Mm-hmm. Because they have to basically fill them in on the idea that, like, look, Solo's dead, and somebody else going, my debt's with the Falcon, not with Solo.
Yeah, I like this. I think it would be a great Disney Plus series, which means they're not going to do it. But I like this a lot.
Yeah, because if we could have, like... Chewie and the fucking Calrissians like hanging out doing space adventures. I'm good with that.
That's gonna get a lot more subscribers, man.
I'm good. Well, no, it won't. Because if I've learned anything about Star Wars fans, the second anyone of color ends up getting involved in anything, nobody gives a shit. Like, I think there's a reason why they waited so long to take off the Mandalorian's helmet. Because once everybody realized that he wasn't generic white boy, they were gonna fucking cancel those subscriptions anyway. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, oh,
but he's so good. He's so good. And Gina Carano.
Yeah. God. Goodness. Yes. Gina Carano.
All right. So we've gone through our initial impressions, what we didn't like. Let us end on a positive note. What did we like about The Rise of the Skywalker?
It was more Star Wars.
It was more Star Wars.
It was more Star Wars.
I love all the moments where Rey is interacting with like a younger character or like a smaller character. Like she has that moment with that alien on that dance planet. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I cannot fucking remember his name, but he's fucking great. The 3PO arc is goddamn adorable. They almost, no pretending or anything else like that, legit thought they killed Chewbacca and was fucking tearing in the goddamn theater. Like,
yeah,
because I could not with the idea of them being like, hey, so because like I knew Leia was dying, so it was like, you cannot kill Han and Leia and Chewie. Like, I can't, I can't with that in one movie. Like, you cannot take my Chewbacca from me. That's not how any of this works.
And I had seen a trailer with Han sitting next to Lando, or Chewie sitting next to Lando, so I knew that was coming. But I, they still got me. Like the way Rey screams. And like the thing blow like that, that fucking.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they, like, they totally got me. By the way, that's the reason why I don't watch fucking trailers. Cause I got to experience that fucking legit.
Yeah. That was tough.
Yeah. That fucking literally for a good 20 minutes broke my goddamn heart.
Yeah. Babu Freak was really cool.
Babu's fucking awesome. I love goddamn Star Wars characters that only really have like two or three lines. Like, that's why BB-8's fucking great. That's why BB-8. R2's great. That's why Chewbacca's great. That's why, what the fuck is it? The guy who was flying alongside Lando at the end of Jedi or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah. Yeah, he's fucking great. Yeah, like, all these throw... Fucking Boba Fett didn't even have any lines, really. Well, he had the one, but like he totally counts. Bosk just hissed, just fucking stood there looking like a badass lizard in a spacesuit and hissed, fucking rad. So like, yeah, really anyone who doesn't get touched with George Lucas's goddamn dialogue, I'm here for all of them.
Yeah, I liked Dio, the little droid that was like, no, thank you, no, thank you.
Yes, the fucking, like, I am genuinely surprised there must be a corner of the internet that I am not privy to yet of how many people who like side with that no thank you robot of like that's their fucking anxiety power animal.
Yeah, yeah. No thank you, no thank you,
no thank you,
no no no, no.
Like
no
yeah, I get you, tiny friend. I get you quite well.
Carrie Russell's eyes were great with her robot mask. Is it Carrie Russell?
I don't know who that was.
The girl, the
luchador?
Yeah, the luchador.
Yeah.
I think it's Carrie Russell. I don't fucking want to look it up.
True.
Apparently the actor, kept her helmet on, like in between takes, cause she just loved her outfit so much. She was like, I'm not taking this off. This is so awesome.
Nice. I like this cause this just furthers my lucha math.
Yeah. Star Wars is just lucha.
I'm good with all of this, honestly.
Let's see. What else did I like? I liked that Rey chose her name at the end, like chose to be a Skywalker, because I chose to ignore the Palpatine stuff, and I feel like chosen family is a very powerful message. Like, if you come from a shitty background, you can overcome that, and you can choose your friends, and you can choose
all
that kind of stuff.
And I get the idea that I think it was more of a nod. I mean, I guess it's a nod to current day Luke and Leia. And okay. Could she have not just said it's just Rey?
I'm just
and just Rey. Been a strong independent character that doesn't necessarily need to cling on to somebody else's surname to feel important.
And why is it all of a sudden important in Star Wars? Throughout the entire series, no one gives a shit about last names until this movie. And I agree with you. I think that would have been a lot stronger if she just said, I'm just Rey.
Yeah, it's just Rey. Why do the British care about surnames, man? Like, it's like when fucking colonizers. I don't know what to tell you. Like this. Yeah,
exactly.
That's really all it is. Just
yeah. I mean, I liked it, but I think your point is would have made a much stronger end. I think
it would have made a stronger end. It's not a hill worth dying on or anything else like that. And to the credit of the way that Leia is written as the general and Luke as like the old sage who kind of comes around is good.
Yeah.
By the way, Luke reappearing and literally like as a ghost telling Rey to sit down and tell me what's going on felt like the fucking weirdest thing where they're like in the middle of the goddamn thing and he shows up as like the sage. Like, the last time a Force ghost showed up, Yoda lit the like special tree on fire. Luke's go-to thing is like, oh, hon, you know what? Hang on a second. I think I got a Fresca in the fridge. I got it over in the mini. Why don't you take a seat on that rock and you tell your old pal Luke what's going on? So you're having a bad day? Oh, hon, that's a, you know what? We're going to, one, I'm going to put a little bit of peroxide on that elbow because that looks rough. And then you and I, we're going to go out for a funnel cake, a high five, and we're going to show that fucking Kylo what for. Am I right? Huh? Come on, Slugger. Let's go. We're going to go on an adventure to get like,
yeah,
weird, yep. Everything's going to be okay. Uncle Luke is funny, but he's fucking dead. It would be funny if he wasn't a goddamned ghost.
Yeah, that I was not a fan of that.
No, it's not that I wasn't a fan of it. It's that I audibly laughed when I saw her sit down on a rock and they did that big pan back shot. And it was like, what the fuck?
Speaking of panning shots, do you remember that scene with the Knights of Ren on that thing and like that drone shot? Did you remember in Hobbs and Shaw when they did like 8 pans around Hobbs and Shaw?
Yes.
I was like, it's the same shot.
It's the same shot. It's the same goddamn shot, except for the fact that either Dwayne Johnson, not Hobbs or Shaw, neither one of their super special characters, just genuinely Dwayne Johnson and genuinely Jason Statham with a teaspoon and a hand towel could have kicked the fucking shit out of all of the Knights of Ren. Like, all of the money in my wallet right now for a fucking throwaway video of Dwayne Johnson showing up and literally putting the rock bottom on half of the goddamn Knights of Ren. Like,
elbow. Like, people's elbow ropes and he's running back for it.
Look, I don't ask for a whole lot from the internet, but if somebody could randomly dub in footage of old Attitude Era wrestlers kicking the shit out of the Knights of Ren, like just one of them fucking super kicking one of them, just a stone cold stunner on the other one, a rock bottom, and then we just,
the glass breaks. You
just cut out the scene, like the Knights of Ren show up, and all of a sudden you just hear the glass break from Stone Cold, and all of a sudden, all the Attitude Era wrestlers come in, fuck them up, and then leave. And the last thing you see is fucking Stone Cold, like standing on top of a precipice in front of like the crowd that Palpatine had. Yeah, just clanging space beers together.
What the fuck were those people?
I don't know. I don't. What the fuck? Also, what happens when she kills him? Do they disappear? Is there just, did she just murder her grandpa in front of a capacity crowd? What happens?
How gotta get to the bathroom line.
Think about this. Think about this. You take someone who runs a crowd of fucking crazy worshipers, right? Let's say Joel Osteen, right? Let's add mega church runner Joel Osteen. So Ray, right? Who plays Joel's long lost, like illegitimate daughter, right? Shows back up and he's like, finally, because you're the second coming of Christ, and now I need someone to steal the life force from so that I can continue to bilk these people for all of their money. Now, she goes, not today, Satan, and she beats him about the head with a cross, and he dies in front of his mega church. And no one, not one fucking dire follower comes up and hits her with a folding chair? Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, they're armed in that church. They're carrying. So like they're taking out their PRs.
Am I not to assume that everyone in that stadium are the people who aren't good enough to be on the fucking spaceship. Like, I get the idea that they're the B team. Like, they could be like the throw, like, you know, those guys who like can't quite hit the targets or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, fine. So let's assume that like these are some reject ass clones, right? Can't quite get it together, you know, don't understand fractions
have
really
their faces
well.
Like, melted just, off.
Yeah, yeah. Faces like half a little melty or whatever it is. Like,
they're unfinished Snokes.
Yeah, yeah. A couple unfinished Snokes, a couple guys who really hurt themselves in a freak Jiffy Pop accident. Like, just, you know, guys who really can't get their shit together. But there's enough of them in that crowd. Do they not hop the barricade like fucking the Super Bowl, run onto the field, and literally rip Ray apart like a zombie horde?
Yeah, I mean, ECW had fewer people in the audience and they got involved. So, like,
that's what I'm saying. What does no one have a tricycle in the arena? Does no one?
Yeah, I
find it incredibly hard to believe that 200 people in Philadelphia are more dangerous to a Jedi than an entire goddamn stadium of weird, undead, but kind of dead, but kind of not dead Palpatine followers.
Yeah. They should have killed her instantly. Like,
what the fuck? Right. Also, how did she leave? We managed to show how much of the goddamn... We can rush through the first 10 minutes of that movie and jump through space 40 fucking times. But we can't show Rey going, oh shit, that's not good. And then picking Ben up and then running with her dead Nazi boyfriend back to the spaceship. We can't do that. We can show Slug Friend, but we can't show her dragging her dead Nazi boyfriend through a goddamn stadium.
He disappeared at that point.
Oh, that's right. That's sorry. Right. Can we not see her gather the laundry from her dead Nazi boyfriend?
Because
you know she has to have a shadow box. Like, there's no way around it.
Just the fuck.
Right. Right. She finally got the kiss. You know this is what she's been dreaming about the entire time. She absolutely has to smell those clothes, but right now is not the time because she has to run to the ship. She's definitely gathering laundry and then running like the end of, like, genuinely, that must have looked like the middle part of a Scooby-Doo episode where she's just running in between hallways with just the horde chasing after her and her just running with, like, way too much laundry.
There should have been like a chase scene. Like,
where is the chase scene?
There should have been, because that's like a bajillion motherfuckers.
Well, because here's the thing.
Some of them get squashed, but like a bunch of them might not. So
if weird win the war guy, our friend Sluggo, and that jump scene didn't hit the fucking edit floor, how did Rey getting chased by, I don't know, 20,000 undead Palpatine friends not make it into the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a whole bunch of motherfuckers.
Yeah. How about you remind everyone that there's an army without a leader and there's going to be some sort of power vacuum, and that's where you end up jumping off with the next fucking Star Wars movie, because someone has to maintain that sort of thing. Is it weirdly Kylo Ren's super weird force ghost who's moonlighting as some sort of weird Sith leader? Is Palpatine not dead somehow again? Does fucking Darth Maul show up? Does, like, what is it? What is it?
Yeah.
Is there another Skywalker that we don't know about who, like, we find out that Luke has an illegitimate son that he had with somebody else? Like, Solo's got a sister that we've never heard about that Luke definitely fucked, and there's definitely another Skywalker out there. So then she goes to claim back the name of Skywalker from Rey.
Yeah. Also, here's another thing that made no fucking sense the second time I saw it. They do that at the end where all of those Star Destroyers are blowing up, like, in the atmosphere of all those other planets. Like, you have Endor with the Ewoks and, like, Tatooine and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you see Jakku, there's a Star Destroyer blowing up.
Yeah.
We just saw them take out the command ship so that the Last Order ships can't leave Exegol. So where the fuck did all of those other Star Destroyers come from that are blowing up in the atmosphere?
I don't know. Why do all of the other ships immediately blow? You know what that is? Do you know what that fucking is? You remember way back when we were talking about, what the fuck was it? It was the one, that weird fucking movie with John Travolta and Forrest Whitaker and Barry Pepper about the Scientology. Battlefield Earth.
Battlefield Earth, yeah.
So that was actually, remember, that was the end scene that was supposed to be in the book where you take out the main one and then all of the other planets die?
Yeah.
They literally use Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard, Battlefield Earth math to kill every one of those ships across the galaxy with no warning. By the way, where the fuck is the memorial for everybody who fucking died because they got hit in the head by a fucking spaceship?
There are hella Ewoks just blowed up in the wreckage.
Okay, well, hang on a second. I'm not going to mourn for Ewoks, okay? Like, please understand. There's no other animal on that planet. They're either cannibals or they're just real fucking mean to people. But I remember the end of that. They played xylophones with helmets and skulls, all right? I'm glad the spaceship fell on them. They're evil fucking bears. They're evil bears. They are like, it's the Island of Misfit Toys. It's all the things that Jim Henson wanted to make and then turned on him when he hit it with that weird Muppet magic where he was like, you're a friend. And he's like, I'm going to eat your soul. And he's like, to Endor with you. And just sends him off in the distance.
Run away.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm convinced. Like, that's where Sweetums comes from. He comes from Endor. Mm. Like, he's the only rehabilitated Ewok.
He survived the transformation.
Honestly, he's the only one that's full grown. I'm convinced that all the Ewoks are actually children.
Yeah. God. So, now, they blow up the Last Order, but the First Order is still around.
Well, yeah, but, you know, Jamie, if we've learned anything, that once you beat the Nazis, they're just gone. They just disappear. They never come back.
Sure.
They never rise again. They never elect a new leader. They never elect a shadow leader in a new planet. That's not anything that they would ever do.
They never invade Twitter.
Right. Yeah, no. So, well, I mean, in space, there's no Twitter. So thank God for that. But I get the idea of, like, once you beat the Nazis, no more Nazis, am I right? Huh? Yeah? Don't watch The Mandalorian because they're totally gone. They're very, very, very much gone. All the Nazis are gone.
They're all gone.
They're all gone. That's how Nazis work. They're all gone. Thanks, Ray. Glad you got to kiss your boyfriend.
Oh, God.
Oh goodness. God. How are those? Okay. How do Force Ghost pants smell? Like, once you phase out, is it one of those things where it's like a dead body where you empty your bowels and the ghost just smells like shit and disappointment? Or, like, is it like a weird whisk of, like, lavender and, like, sandalwood?
Well, yeah, that's the question, because, like, are your body odors part of your essence when you disappear?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like, when Sir Alec Guinness died in the first movie, right? Yeah. Fighting Vader.
Yeah.
You suddenly smell like tea and confidence. Like, just all of a sudden you're like, oh, that was nice. What happened? Like,
that's a chamomile.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No. It's just a dead Jedi. Like, I tell
that's a good question. And we would need somebody to go on set, pick up the thing, and then, like, you know, do a scientific exploration of, like, is this a sweat spot or did the sweat spot disappear? And, like,
right. Yeah. I need a CSI team. And honestly, what we've just stumbled upon is a great marketing campaign for a fragrance company. You literally take all of your fragrances and you tell them, this is the essence. When the Force Ghost dies, this is what you smell. Want to smell like Obi-Wan? Yeah. It's just right. Yeah. And it's just nothing but Force Ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I imagine so, because
yeah, it just and all Vader smells like is liquid charcoal. That's all he smells like.
Right, because he didn't disappear.
Right, but he still gets a Force Ghost.
He didn't disappear, but he gets a Force Ghost. This doesn't seem to work.
Jamie, are you about to question the logic of Star Wars Force Ghosts of all the things that you and I are going to pick apart today?
Brandon,
that's the one we're going to land on. That's the one we're going to, all of the things, all of the space Nazis, all of the silliness that's happening, all of the Rose not getting proper fucking justice, and we're going to go in about how they run fast and loose with Force Ghost logic.
Also, why is it Hayden Christensen and not old Vader Force Ghost? Why?
Because you get to choose your Force Ghost? Like, maybe that's it.
Alec Guinness. Young Obi-Wan?
Right. Well, this is the question, is like, will anyone recognize me as young Obi-Wan? Because, like, imagine if like, Ewan McGregor is just standing there as a Force Ghost, and they're like, who the fuck's that guy? And they're like, that's Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan was old.
Well, then how would Luke recognize Hayden Christensen? Because the only time he saw his father was when he was frying with the helmet off with like all these lines and cracks in his face.
I assume that he can recognize a shitty teenager and be like, ah, it's one of mine. I get this now. I too am a shitty teenager with the name of Skywalker. See, without actually being a Skywalker, we can recognize each other. That's right. Yeah.
Hate that sand, don't you? I hate that sand.
Yeah, I know it is. Also, the midichlorians. That's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, also, can we double in real quick before we wrap up?
For sure.
Thank fucking Christ they covered Leia being a goddamn Jedi.
Yes. Yes. I like that.
Yes.
I did like that.
Which means that we complete the loop, which means the next time that you are out there, our friends that we know defend Leia, that support Leia, the next time some mouth-breathing fucking tool is like, Leia can't survive spaceships. Leia doesn't know how to do anything because she's not a Jedi. You fucking slap them in the mouth. And you, when they're down on the ground, you look at them and you go, whore, did you see the last movie?
Yeah. You pull out your Leia saber because you're going to keep it with you always.
Goddamn right.
And you bash that fucker about the head and chest.
Yes. Yeah, I think reasonably the only thing that you can do is you have to basically slap them in the mouth. They have to hit the ground. You have to force them to wear a metal bikini and then you flip them off.
Yeah.
And then you pigeonhole them for having one role for their entire career the rest of their time. And you have to follow them around until they realize how shitty they are about everything.
Oh,
because assholes like that ruin her fucking career.
And the neat thing about that scene is Carrie Fisher's daughter played young Leia.
Yeah, I know.
So they did the face swap on her, but like she did all that stuff. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. And she was also right in the movie too.
Yeah, she was in the movie too. Like there are so many, like the performances were great. Like I love the cast. I want to see more of them. But man.
Yeah, I.
But man. I will enjoy this more than the prequels, for sure. For sure. But it's only because of the performances. Like, the story is just as dumb.
I think all of the stories are dumb.
That's true.
Like, reasonably.
That's true.
If you did a full explanation, like if I told you, hey, you get a Star Wars opening scrolls worth of text to explain each movie plot.
Oh, God.
Is one of them a standout of like, this is real fucking good?
Yeah, I mean, it really is like those old serials, like George Lucas grew up on, like those old sci-fi serials. Like,
yeah,
those week-to-week dumbass Flash Gordon bullshits.
Yep.
Except it's been elevated to this level that's unreasonable. And like, it's hard for people to just enjoy it. Like, I know I'm complaining about it, but I had fun. I enjoyed it. I don't regret going to the theater twice and taking my parents.
They're getting my money when it comes out on video or at home or whatever it is. Yeah. So like, I've got no problem buying it. I'm here to support all of it. I want to see more of it, but yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to go see whatever other movies that are going to come out.
Yep.
You know, because.
Right, because we just saw The Mandalorian and we know that it has the ability to be good and not involve a goddamn Skywalker. By the way, that is when I fucking cancel my Disney Plus subscription. When I find out that the fucking Mandalorian's a goddamn Skywalker, that's it. That is it. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going on record right now. If I find out that shit happens, I am going to empty my bank account, with the sole purpose of punching George Lucas in the dick. That is what I'm going to do.
Well, and the Mandalorian.
Nothing more than an aggravated assault. And I'm just going to punch him right in the crotch, right in that front butt. I am going to fucking KO that front butt. Please know this. Yeah. I don't care if this puts me on a watch list or whatever it is. If I find out the Mandalorian's a goddamn Skywalker, I'm going to punch George Lucas in the fucking dick. And I hope he takes his money, his weird Skywalker money, and pays them to do this to match my fucking quest.
Yeah.
Please know I can Google where Skywalker Ranch is. And please know I will punch you in the dick. You do this.
Well, that's another great thing about the Mandalorian. He's a foundling. So he comes from nothing.
For now. I think weirdly the parents in the Mandalorian and the parents of fucking Rey look probably similar. I seem to remember them being nondescript bearded white people, which Jesus fucking Christ, couldn't we not? Like, god damn it.
Yeah. Oh man, I can't wait for season two. Oh, so here's what I think.
Yeah,
I think we're gonna get tiny Mandalorian armor
for Yoda.
Yeah,
I mean, I hope so.
I think we're gonna get tiny Mandalorian armor.
I don't think we are. I think we're gonna get battle pram.
That too. I want battle pram, and I want like at least a chest thing for him.
I think more that boy needs a helmet, because I want to see the little metal ears. Yeah, like I need the little metal ears, and then the little face thing.
Yeah. Because in the,
like, if we get tiny battle Yoda with like the little ball, and then we find out that this really, that's going to be, by the way, that's going to be how the guy from fucking Breaking Bad dies. It's going to be baby Yoda sends that little ball bearing right through that guy's forehead.
Yeah.
Without question.
Yeah. And the, so the thing, like in the first episode of The Mandalorian, when he goes to the cave where like the underground sewer, you have kids running past him with helmets on.
Yeah.
So we're getting a battle pram. We're getting baby armor. I think we're getting baby armor.
I hope so. Also, the part with the blacksmith may be the best thing in all of the Star Wars universe ever.
Oh, where she's just sitting there and then like, boop, 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 boop.
Yeah,
boop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I want
fucking fantastic.
All of that all the time. Whoever came up with that scene, I want them to write everything from here on in. I don't need any more dialogue. I don't need any more space, this and that. I just want that person to write every interaction from this point forward. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I want the same person who's like, okay, so a big hammer. And when they swing that hammer down on the ground, I don't want to see blood. I want to see helmet shards acting as blood.
Yeah.
That means you know how to work. It's that old Patton Oswalt bit of like weird G-rated filth is way more fucked up than actual filth.
Sure, for sure.
Right. Having them use the helmet spatter as blood is way more terrifying than just actual blood.
And the sound that the impact makes.
The greatest sound in a fight scene is hitting a meat mallet on a thick steak. That is the most satisfying noise.
And I think she makes it. And I think she's going to be in season two, which means Gina Carano, Armorer, Carl Weathers are going to be on that planet. I just want the three of them to hang out at a bar.
I want all of them to go chase after him because they find out that weird dude's back and they have to go chase after him. And like, we get into the second episode and all of a sudden they're all hanging out. Somehow they met. You know what we're going to find out, right? That the Space Forge is actually part of like a Mandalorian ship that lives under the city, and the whole city's going to fucking rise as a spaceship.
Yeah. And they're going to go up to Mando and they're going on your left.
Right.
Just show up.
Right. Yeah. Because reasonably, if she says, I'm not going to leave here, there has to be a reason other than I built this rad ass fire. Mm-hmm. So it's I'm assuming
ship.
It has to be a ship.
Yeah.
I like that. I saw Voltron. I understand the idea that a castle's a ship. So I'm here for all of this.
Yeah. Yeah, like and it's an extra large slave one.
No, it has to be a completely original. Do not do that shit. Don't do that shit. Do not rely on the old I'm so tired of fucking pandering to these fucking douchebags. That's why fucking Rose didn't get any lines.
I know. I'm still livid about that. Like
Jesus Christ, I get more mad
thinking about it.
Fucking the Mandalorian's rad and Boba Fett sucks. He fucking sucks. He's awful.
You know
he's
what?
Lame. He's a shit ass Mandalorian. He has no fucking toys. He barely burned one dude. He can't use a proper jetpack for shit. And he can't hand to hand fight at all because he couldn't even kick the shit out of blind fucking Han Solo.
Yeah. The ship should actually just be a giant Mandalorian helmet. So like Zardoz.
It's like Mask. So it's just like Mask. It's just a Mandalorian helmet with some rockets on the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just real conspicuous shit.
We're like, back, bitches. Right, we're not hiding anymore.
Know? Yeah, that's really all it is. It's a giant Mandalorian helmet with some rockets on the bottom of it that just blast Wu-Tang. Just riding through fucking space. Just fucking blast it. Like, how do you know that they're coming up? How do you know it's a Mandalorian ship? Do you not hear cream coming over the fucking speakers? Like, just...
Mandalorian ain't nothing to fuck with.
God damn it. If I find out that we get back and we find a fucking Mandalorian stronghold and one of them gets the helmet broken off of them and fight and it's fucking RZA, I'm going to lose my shit.
Storm Shadow.
God damn it. Anyway, okay. Jeez, we have to stop. We have to stop.
It's so good, though. So
we have to stop.
All right, Brandon Chalmers, Happy New Year. Where can people find you?
Oh, God. On Instagram at that guy Chalmers, Jamie Noguchi, where can they find you?
Also on Instagram at Jamie Noguchi and on Twitter, Angry Zen Master.
Yep.
Yeah. Thanks.
To steal a line from one of my other favorite podcasts, if you have complaints about what happens and what Jamie and I just talked about and would like to voice them, just do us a favor. Hop on, just gas up your Twitter machine, and you want to type in at Send Ted Cruz on Twitter. Let him know. Use the hashtag. Fucking do it. He'll be real confused. He probably has some very strong feelings about Star Wars, though, from taking a good look at him, because when that beard came in, I can spot him. I get it. That guy is a Star Wars purist, and that beard showed up the second fucking Finn showed up. Know that shit. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Not a goddamn coincidence. Please know.
Fucking Ted Cruz, man.
Yep. Anyway, Jamie Noguchi, fucking end this thing.
Peace.